Boston escapes with a 111-107 win over the Warriors. And I'm talking about that on this Wednesday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing and wherever you're going, I hope you're enjoying this podcast and that I brighten your day a little bit. I'm John Corrales. I host this show. I cover the Boston Celtics, and I'm the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available at booksellers everywhere. Today, the Boston Celtics are on their way to Sacramento for the second half of a back-to-back. The first half, a 111-107 win over the Golden State Warriors. I'm going to follow our normal podcast format with the post-game. If you're new, segment one, the good, segment two, the bad, segment three. Another storyline from this, and in this one, I'm going to focus on Kemba Walker because Kemba had a decent game, started off well, finished well, in the middle was kind of like iffy shooting-wise, but thought generally was pretty good. So I'm going to talk about that. An interesting thing that he said about his finishing around the rim. So let's run down some of the numbers here. Boston Celtics got 27 points from Jason Tatum on 9 of 19 shooting, 4 of 10 from 3, which is good. 5 of 6 from the line, that's good. 9 rebounds, 3 assists. 19 points from Kemba Walker, 6 of 18 shooting, 3 of 9 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 0 turnovers for Kemba Walker. 18 points for Jaylen Brown, 10 rebounds, a double-double, 8 of 20 shooting, 4 assists, a block, 3 turnovers, and 15 points off the bench for Grant Williams, 15 points on a perfect 4-4 from the field, 3 of 3 from 3, yeah, nice shooting from Grant Williams, a couple of blocks, some really nice defense. On the Warriors side, Steph Curry, 38 points on 12 of 21 shooting, 7 of 14 from 3 and 7 of 7 from the line. 11 rebounds, 8 assists, nearly a triple-double. That scared the crap out of us, didn't it? The beginning, the first quarter, Steph Curry's first quarter was pretty nuts. When we look at the, what was it, the 38-point game in the first quarter, he was, what's the first quarter numbers here? 6 of 10, 4 of 7 from 3, 17 points. So 17 of his 38. Came in that first quarter. That's going to be part of the bad discussion. The good discussion starts with Grant Williams, who I thought was the key to winning this game because the Celtics really didn't have, this wasn't a particularly great game from the Celtics. They figured things out. They certainly took advantage of Kevon Looney leaving at halftime basically with a sprained ankle and leaving the Warriors very shorthanded at the big spot. And the Celtics took great advantage of that. They had 10 offensive rebounds in the second half, 6 in the fourth quarter. Overall, 16 second chance points for the Celtics. The offensive rebounding was huge, 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 huge. And really, between that and Grant Williams, the reason why the Celtics were able to hold on and finish this game off, because 6 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, a lot of second chances, and even if they didn't all pan out to be second chance points, those were possessions that were extended, and instead of 18 seconds in a possession, you get the rebound back and it's 25 seconds or 30 seconds. It's just that adds up, especially when the Celtics kind of faltered a little bit down the stretch, making sure that the Warriors didn't have really enough time to make the best of this, that opportunity, that late opportunity. That's a big thing. Grant Williams was phenomenal. This is probably his best game of the season. The three-point shooting, just two of those were very, very important shots. One was early on when the Warriors were kind of building a lead. The other one was when the Warriors were trying to come back. He had a couple of catch-and-shoot opportunities in the left corner. That was just very, very timely shooting from Grant Williams. Then he had this insane sidestep three from the right side. I was like, "What? Who is this? Who's this guy? Grant Williams, sidestep threes? Wait, what?" But he was feeling it. He said after the game, yeah, I had the confidence. And he works on that stuff. He does work on that stuff. They just, you know, you don't see it very often, but you get it from time to time. So Grant Williams was just a big contributor. Once the Celtics decided to go small, so they started double big. And Tristan Thompson had a good offensive performance. 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 of 5 from the field, 3 of 6 from the line, but that's what he does. 8 rebounds. But I don't think Tristan Thompson had the best overall game. He was just bullying the Warriors and hitting these jump hooks. That was good. But when the Celtics went small and Daniel Theis, who didn't shoot as well and had 8 points but 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, he was plus 24 on the night. Again, you know, we don't want to make too much of a single game plus minus, but Daniel Theis was on the floor for a lot of good things. And I thought the smaller lineups were going to be the better lineups. Now, I thought Robert Williams was going to be a key factor here, but Robert Williams was a non-factor. And I guess I should talk about him in the second segment. But I thought Grant Williams, when the Celtics went small, this was the opportunity for Grant Williams to take advantage. And he did. So shout-outs to him. Kemba Walker, early, was good. He came out and hit his first couple of shots. And 3 of 5 in the first quarter, he was really good. In the fourth quarter, Kemba was not as good, but he hit a timely shot. Overall, his shooting was 6 of 18. Not good shooting night. Kind of Kemba-ish, though, because he doesn't always have great shooting nights. He has good shooting stretches. Takes him a little while sometimes to get into rhythm. But I thought Kemba coming out right away was important. Get some of that confidence. So Kemba was, I will say, generally good. Shooting again, not great. But as Brad Stevens said after the game, you know, he's chasing around Steph Curry. And so that's going to be hard to maintain good shooting. The no turnovers was a big deal. The 5 assists were a big deal. 7 rebounds. Kemba Walker had 3 offensive rebounds. That's huge. And in when you're facing the Warriors with the amount of threes that they take, especially Steph Curry, you're on the floor, you're matching Steph Curry, there are a lot of longer rebounds that come out. And so you'll have, as a guard, more opportunity to rebound. And when you're on your own team and the Celtics are putting up a bunch of three-pointers, they took 34 three-pointers, shot a pretty decent percentage, 38%. There are opportunities for offensive rebounds there too. Celtics don't get to the rim a lot. So Kemba did a good job there. And, you know, the Jays did a pretty good job too. Again, not really much offensive flow overall in this game. It's not like the Celtics had a consistent top-to-bottom good game. But look, Tatum did his damage when he needed to do his damage. Jaylen Brown did his damage when he needed to do his damage. They stepped up. This is what they're supposed to do. Even when you're not having the best game in the world, in the fourth quarter, they combined to be 5 of 8 and to combine for 15 points, 15 of the 25 in the fourth quarter. That's what they're supposed to do. And Jaylen Brown with that steal and dunk I mean, that was beautiful. Now, I don't know. Jaylen Brown, I think sometimes still prone to a lapse or two. But this he stepped up when he needed to and did a good job. So shout out to the Jays. I mean, that's, what else do you need? The bad is up next, and that's where I'm going to talk about Steph and some other stuff. I'm recording this at 3 in the morning, which means I still have editing to do. I still have my Locked On NBA podcast, which I do on Wednesdays with Jake Madison. I still have to put that together. Sleep is not an easy thing for me to get on Wednesdays. But I know that my friends at CBDMD are going to have me covered with the types of products that are going to help me out. Getting a good night's sleep, much easier said than done. But CBDMD has exactly what you need. They have CBD PM, which blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. If you want to relax a little bit before bed, you can try their CBD bath salts that fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience. And they're available in lavender and eucalyptus scents, as well as a soothing nighttime blend that you have with melatonin and calming herbs. To make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all of the Locked On Celtics podcast listeners 25% off when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. 25% off your next order with your promo code NBA at checkout. That's CBDMD.com with the promo code NBA for 25% off of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. If you need all of the day's big sports news and you don't have a lot of time, then you want to subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast, because Peter Bukowski is going to give you, in less than 20 minutes, all of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts on the Locked On Today podcast. Start your day with all the sports news you need and subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. The bad in this game, the Celtics' early defense on Steph Curry was just frantic. It was a mess. And Brad Stevens before the game said, we cannot get into, cannot fall into the trap of Steph Curry hitting a couple of shots, and then we all freak out, and then we all start running around like crazy, and other guys start getting dunks, and Steph Curry gets more opportunities. And what happened in the first quarter? Exactly what Brad Stevens said they could not do. And after the game, he said, we were not up on Steph Curry. Like, Steph Curry is Steph freaking Curry. When you see him, you should be up on him. They were losing him. It's just an infuriating lack of attention to detail right away. The beginning of the game is when you're supposed to have all of that stuff fresh in your mind. You know, like, it's in your head that, okay, if I see Steph, I'm doing this. If I'm guarding Steph, if we have to switch or if we have to do that, like trap, whatever, I know right away. It's in my head. It's fresh. The game plan is fresh in my head. And right away, they just let him go off. I mean, as soon as he touched the ball, like within seconds, it was like 6-0. 6 of 10, 4 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and just 1 turnover in the first quarter for Curry. 17 of the 35 points. So almost half of the 35 points. It's an odd number. You can't have exactly half. So Curry played the whole first quarter, and the Celtics just, yeah, whatever. The frustration, if you think I'm frustrated by watching this, just go back and look at Brad Stevens, and Chris Forsberg tweeted this out. The third three-pointer that Steph Curry got within the first couple of minutes, within the first few minutes, as soon as the ball leaves his hand, Brad Stevens gets on the floor, just walks on the floor. The ball is just being released, and he's already calling a timeout. Like, he knows exactly what's happening. He's two steps onto the floor before the ball goes through, because he knows that's going to be a timeout, and because it's going to go in. So, I think sometimes the Celtics' attention to detail is just so lacking. And I don't know why, but it's there. And this is a tough part of the schedule. We all know that. They just, you're going cross country. It's tough. Okay? We can say, oh, well, they make all this money and whatever. But it doesn't matter in the moment. Like, it doesn't matter in these immediate instances where you're like, oh, this, I can't leave the hotel. I can't. Okay, it's a nice hotel, but like, all right, but you still want to leave. You still don't want to be locked up like you're a prisoner. Okay, so you just don't want to be stuck in these situations. And they are, you know, you go cross country, you're stuck in your hotel, you're feeling a little, you know, whatever they're feeling. But this is what you got to do. You've got to get past these things. And these immediate, the slow starts, the immediate mistakes are a little bit infuriating. But they weren't just immediate mistakes. There were late mistakes. Really, really bad cheap fouls late in the game. This is one of the really bad things. Really cheap fouls late in the games. And I had people respond to me on Twitter. It's like, well, Jaylen Brown's getting hacked all over the place down the other end. Okay, fine. And maybe he's frustrated, but you gotta, I hate to say it, get past it. You can't let that carry over into the other side. That's the one thing the Celtics preach. You gotta be in the moment. Okay, you didn't get that foul. Get down the other side. Defend. Don't do the little slap as somebody goes by for a layup and an and one. Instead of 4 points, you give up 6 points. Bad decision making all around. Robert Williams, after all of this talk, after everything about Robert Williams, this highlights the Celtics center problems. Because we walked into this game where with everybody saying, Daniel Tice is the guy, Robert Williams needs a lot more minutes. And, you know, Tristan Thompson is kind of like, well, third person. And some people were down on him more, and I preach more patience. But then you come into this game and Tristan Thompson has a good offensive game. Again, defensively, still not great. But offensively, he was hitting shots. But Robert Williams comes in and was very obviously from the beginning just not good. Just not good. Slow. It felt like he was not mentally there. He only ended up playing 9 minutes. This was after a lot of good performances. This was like one where you felt like he can't be on the floor. And we haven't had a lot of appearances from Robert Williams where we said he can't be on the floor. This was certainly one of them. This was just one of them. And I'm not going to go crazy about it because he's been so good for a lot of this season. So, you know, this is just not his game. Maybe it's just not whatever. Maybe a bad day. Maybe a bad matchup. Whatever it was, not his day. But it really was not his day. And fundamental stuff, not even defensively, but like not thinking. Just, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe some of the plays because it's passing to guys too early, not recognizing what the right play is, so be it. But it does highlight that the Celtics' center rotation just has to be like on a game-to-game basis. Like, there are no hard, fast determinations. Daniel Tice could get a DNP against Sacramento. You know what I mean? Or could get 9 minutes against Sacramento. Just could happen that way. And frankly, I thought at the beginning of this game, he was going to go that way, and the Celtics would just have to go completely small, and then he picked it up. But the centers are going to have to be a kind of game-by-game basis. Don't get me started on Jeff Teague. I will say, though, the TNT graphics, those superimposed things on the floor, when I look at the bad things from this game, that's one of them. Super annoying. If you can't get them to be behind the players, just take them off the floor. Just covering the players with these graphics, not good. I didn't like it. And I know a lot of other people were thinking the same thing. All right, up next, Kemba Walker, his comfort level. And he said this interesting thing about how he's feeling around the rim and how he's not comfortable with that. So I'm going to talk about that next. You'll hear from Kemba next. Super Bowl is just days away. So if you're looking to put a couple bucks on the Super Bowl, maybe one of the prop bets, go to betonline.ag, sign up for a free account, and you're going to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Whatever you deposit, you'll get 50% of whatever that number is on top of it as a welcome bonus. So you win right away just by signing up. Super Bowl is one of the most popular betting days in sports on the sports calendar. But obviously you've got March Madness up, you know, a month away. You've got obviously the NBA season. Baseball is coming back. Hockey, if you want to bet on hockey, there's plenty to bet on. So go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get into the action and please gamble responsibly. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. March Madness next month. March Madness already. Future of the NBA is on display right now, though. If you want to get a head start on next year's draft analysis, subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, all the big names. So subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you found the Locked On Celtics podcast. So a lot's been made of Kemba Walker after a rough shooting night the other day. He came back with a decent start to the game. Again, 6 of 18 shooting is not particularly great, but 3 of 9 from 3 isn't bad. And 4 of 4 from the line, also not particularly bad. His true shooting percentage is below 50, so 48.1%. But it's an improvement over 1 for 12 shooting, that's for sure. But one of the things about Kemba is that, I mean, he's a small guard anyway, but finishing around the rim has been especially problematic. And I've had some discussions online about that, and so I thought this would be a good time to focus on that. So Kemba Walker, why is he not finishing well around the rim? What's going on? I decided to ask him about that because he had one moment in this game where he just seemed like he was off. So I asked him about it, and here's his answer.
Kemba, early on, you had a layup attempt that ended up going out of bounds. You let out a real long yell, seemed like out of frustration. What was it about that play? What is it about that moment? And how are you feeling about yourself around the rim as you try to work your way back?
I got faked out, I think. I got faked out. I was just frustrated because I felt like I could have just went straight up and got the layup. But, like I said, it happens, you know, throughout the course of the game. As far as me around the rim, you know, I can definitely be a lot better. Still trying to get comfortable. Especially stopping. So, yeah, you know, it'll come.
All right, so this speaks to a conversation I was having with James Hollis at Snotty Drippin on Twitter. And so I mentioned on the podcast yesterday that Kemba's not doing that quick jump thing where if you're on the right side, you jump off your right foot. Like when you, if you don't know, when you're on the right side of the floor, you're driving for a layup, it's usually right, left. You take your steps right, left. You jump off your left foot and you lay it up with your right hand. Small guards, like Kemba especially, can get really good at quick jumping, which is instead of going right, left, you just jump off your right foot. And it gives you that little extra half second of being able to lay it in ahead of a defender. And Kemba hasn't been doing that. He's just been taking his two steps, and I think that's been a problem. And I think for Kemba, when he says, I'm not comfortable, especially the stopping part. Well, he has said he's pain-free. So if he truly is pain-free, then the stopping part is mental. If he's afraid of stopping, or he doesn't say afraid, but he's not comfortable with it yet. And maybe the stopping is part of the thing that helped, that hurt him the most when he was dealing with his knee issues. And so that, I think, is interesting. Because if he's not stopping, and what's Kemba Walker's biggest asset? Change of direction. Go full speed in one direction, stop on a dime, go to the other direction. Go full speed towards the rim, stop, jump backwards, get the foul. He's not going to the line as much, so he's not stopping like he used to. Makes sense. Why is he not getting to the line as much as he used to? Well, because he's not comfortable stopping, which means his momentum is carrying him forward, which means that defender behind him is still moving forward, and it doesn't look like the defender is fouling him. Even if Kemba does get a little bump and he falls and slides and lands and whatever, it still just looks like his momentum is going that way, and that the whatever contact is minimal, inconsequential. But when he stops on a dime or quick jumps and can jump backwards a little bit, not only does he get the foul, it clears a little bit of space so he can get that shot up and not have it challenged or blocked. And when he goes that little bit backwards and he gets hit and the momentum, like that change in direction is what tells the ref, oh, he got hit. That's an and one, or that's a foul, two shots. So all this is to say that feels like Kemba Walker is just not, unsurprisingly, not 100% comfortable. He's not 100% back. And I don't see why he would be at this point. And just like with Tristan Thompson, just like with some of these other guys, patience. You just have to have patience. Maybe not with Jeff Teague, but with other guys, you got to have the patience to let them work through some of the things that they've got to work through. And that's going to apply to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker as the offense looks a little janky right now. They're not really flowing. There's not really a lot of ball movement. I didn't even look at the assist numbers. I'm going to call up the assist numbers right now. 16 assists for the Celtics on 39 made baskets. That's not good. It's not good. You want that number to be up higher. If we look at the Warriors, let me just kind of see what the Warriors had. 30 freaking assists. 30 assists on 38 made baskets. That's really good. Because Draymond had 7 and Curry had 8 and a bunch of guys had 2 and 3. The Celtics had one guy, Kemba, with 5. Jaylen had 4. Tatum had 3. Teague has 2, Ojale had 1, Tice had 1, that's it. So, and that's, you're not looking for Javonte Green to drop dimes, or, you know, Robert Williams maybe if he could have stayed on the floor more. Grant maybe, but Celtics just aren't moving the ball. And part of that has to do with Tatum and Brown and Kemba. Even though before the game, Brad Stevens was like, look, you guys just be you and we'll figure out how to compliment you. Like, that's a great thought, but there has to be some slight adjustment, because it can't be Kemba attacking and then, okay, Tatum, it's your turn. Okay, Jalen, it's your turn. Because what's going to be happening is Jalen's going to end up getting frozen out, and he's not the guy that should be frozen out. There are a couple of times that Jalen Brown caught the ball in the corner, and he almost looked surprised getting the ball in the corner. And what happens? Jalen Brown ends up zoning out, and I swear I saw a couple of times he was like, oh, I'm getting the ball here. Like, he cannot be zoning out. I think that Kemba needs to adjust, and Tatum needs to adjust, and Brown needs to adjust. They need to work with each other. I don't care if they run the Harlem Globetrotters little, you know, three-man weave at the top of the key. Something to keep them all together and invested. Something has to work with these three guys. So Kemba's not comfortable. Jalen's not comfortable. Tatum's not 100% comfortable. Tatum's probably the easiest one because he's just going to keep doing what he does. But it's this whole comfort level thing is still an issue, and it's going to be for the rest of the month, probably, at least. It's going to take a little while to solve this. Now, especially without Marcus Smart, it adds a little element of, well, when Smart comes back, got to make sure that they're properly kind of integrating him. Not to this degree, but anyway, point is, Kemba, especially on the minutes restriction, doesn't have a lot of time. He needs to get back to what he is. It's almost sort of Hayward-ish from a couple years ago. It's like, look, you got to play him. He's got to get out there, and he's got to do what he's got to do to get himself back to 100%. But at the same time, it's not quite where it should be. And we're just going to have to be patient. And hopefully the Celtics can win. Look, if they play like this, which is not great, and still hold on for wins, then awesome. Because then once they start figuring things out, the wins maybe get a little bit easier. And hopefully the second half schedule is not as unforgiving as this one. Celtics still have a lot to figure out, and I think that was evident in this game. Turns out it was a 111-107 win, but hey, we'll take it. We'll move on. Warriors out of the way. Kings are next, and I will be back after the Kings game for another late podcast. So make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast if you're a new listener. Regular listeners, a 5-star rating and a good written review would be awesome. Sharing the podcast would also be great. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.